We were having a conversation this morning around the cookie table, and you know it's always tough because you have choices. And today the choices were a lemon bar or a double stuffed Oreo. That's a hard choice. But we decided that somebody worked hard at those lemon bars, and it would be disrespectful if we didn't eat them, so we ate them all. So if you didn't get one, you can blame me and a bunch of guys who stood around and ate them. We are going to finish up a series today that we started a couple weeks ago. It's called I Was Young and Now I'm Old. And what we're doing is we're looking at the life of a guy that we see in the Bible, where we see his life from the time he's a little boy, maybe around 10 years old, something like that, till he passes on and leaves this earth. So we see his life kind of start to finish, and we see it as a guy who follows God throughout that. He didn't do it perfectly, and this guy's name is David. He was one of the kings of Israel, and we see his story in the Old Testament, where it kind of talks about his life, gives us a history of his life. We also see he did a lot of writing himself, and many of the Psalms, if you're familiar with the Psalms, are what were written by him, and they're kind of shared. Sharing what's on his mind, sharing what's in his heart. So we get a really, really, really good picture of this guy, kind of what his life was like, what he was thinking about as he went through these different events in his life that we see. And we're doing it, or we're looking at it, to help us understand what does it look like to kind of live our life through these different stages of life following God, because that's what he did. He didn't do it perfectly. He made a lot of mistakes. He acknowledged he made mistakes. He failed in some certain things again and again and again. He was confused at times. He was angry. He had great successes. He had times of confusion. He had enemies. He just kind of lived life like we did in many ways. And yet, all through it, there's this theme of, well, I'm following God. God, what do you want me to do? He's growing in his relationship with God. And that's what the whole point of Christianity is. It's for us to know God. God knows us. And he says, I want you to know me. I want you to come with me. I want you to be my son, my daughter. I want you to be my friend. I want to be your master, your creator. I want to be your dad. He wants to have this relationship with us. David did that. This guy, David, had that relationship with God, and he did it through the different stages of life. So we're looking at his life, saying, what does it look like for us to have a relationship with God? How can I learn as we do through these different stages of life? And the verse we've been, you know, looking at the whole time, it's in Psalm 37:25. It says, you know, I was young and now I am old. And that's what David kind of recognizes. His life kind of went through these stages, and he followed God through all of them. And just real briefly, 2 weeks ago we talked about that stage of life when we're young. And really what David did there, what we do is we take our passions, our zeal, you know, where things are important to us, and we consolidate it, we focus it, and we set our course in life. That's really what happens when we're young. We decide, what am I shooting for? Whether we do it consciously or subconsciously, we decide, this is what's important to me, so I'm going to take that course. We kind of set our course in life. That's what we do when we're young. And we looked at that. David did that. And he decided, God, I want to follow you. How I'm going to define success in my life is I'm going to seek you. I'm going to spend my life chasing after you. That's what David decided to do as a young man. And then we looked at how that played itself out. Then last week we looked at the kind of stage of life where we're adults. And really what's happening there is we're working, we're building. David set his course in life as a young man, and then he walked that course of life. You know, if that's where I want to go, and I'm here right now, well, to get from here to there, I have to take steps. I have to kind of go through time and get over here, and so I can do that. Well, it's the same with our life. David said, I want to seek God with my whole life. I want to find out what his purposes are, find out what his glory is, and I want to chase that. Well, as an adult, he took steps. He kind of built that life, and his own character was built, and the people around him were built, and he was working day to day, working little small things again and again and again. And that's what David did, and that's what we do. We kind of just walk the course of life, and we ask the question, what does God set in front of you? All right, God, today, as an adult, what have you set in front of me? Well, that's what I'm going to do. And we do it today, and we do it tomorrow. Today, we're going to look at the last stage of life when we're older. Now, I don't know, we said this last week, I don't know where the cutoff is between youth and adulthood. I don't know that number. Is it 20? Is it 25? Is it 15? I have no idea. Probably not 15. Is it, some point we kind of go from youth to adulthood. I also don't know where the cutoff is between middle age and old age. And I'm just kind of curious here, just out of curiosity, how many people would say here, raise your hands, how many people would say that they're old? Yeah, you can't say that. How old are you? You're not old. No, I'm serious. How anybody? Would anyone define themselves as old? How about older? Older. Okay, yeah, I'm older. Yeah, people, where's that cutoff? Some of you people are the same age. I'm old. I don't know where that cutoff is. But there is definitely a point in life where things begin to change. Where our kids are out of the house, perhaps. Maybe we're not working a full-time job every day anymore. Life changes because we're getting older. That's the stage of life that we want to talk about here today. And David, this guy that we're looking at, had that in his mind. We think about that, don't we? If you're my age, you start to think about, well, I'm getting closer to the end than I am to the beginning. I mean, I'm 54. All right, I'm probably closer to the end than unless I live to be 108, I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. And so we begin to think about that. Where, what's going to happen? How is my life going to play itself out now that I'm entering into those later stages? Well, David thought about that too. He looked at his life and he was able to kind of look at it and say, you know what? I'm getting older. What does that mean? And in Psalm 71, I think about this verse a lot as I kind of am approaching that stage in life. And David thought about this. And he thought about his life in terms of, I once was young, and then I kind of went through those adult years, and now I'm at a different stage of life. What does that mean? What does that look like? And here in Psalm 71, I'm going to start reading in verse 17. It says this, "O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood." And so he's remembering, yeah, I was a young man and you spoke to me. I remember back when I was just a boy and I was filled with energy and I was, fighting the giants. Remember, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and nothing was impossible for me, and I was indestructible. I was that guy, and you were speaking to me then. Oh God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. And then I just kind of went through life as an adult, and I was doing what you put in front of me. I was constantly talking about you. I just kind of lived my life there with you, holding your hand, asking you what was in front of me, you and I working together. So he's looking at these stages in his life. I was young, then I was an adult. But now that I am old and gray. So he's recognizing, okay, things are different. I've passed into a new stage of life. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who are to come. And here's what we need to recognize. David looked at himself and recognized, I am in the fourth quarter here. He defines himself as old and gray. I didn't ask how many would say you're old and gray. I mean, probably nobody. Who's here is old and gray? That's me. I mean, we don't think that way. But David said, that's true of me, but I'm not done. David looked at this stage in his life and said, what am I doing? I'm living my life. As a young man, I set my course to follow God, and I've been walking that my whole life, and now I'm later in the game. Now I'm in the last later stages of this, but I'm not done. I am not finished. I'm going to keep going. In fact, guys, I think, and we're going to talk about this, I really truly believe that in many ways the best is yet to come. This stage of life is the most productive. It has the most fruit. The best in your life is yet to come. I think David believed that. And I think as we look through this, we're going to see what in the world that means. Can that be true that later in life is the best time in this thought of following God with our whole life? The best is yet to come. How? Well, it has to do, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't just automatically happen. You know, we don't just automatically get older and suddenly everything is great, because in a lot of ways that's not true. As you get older, we physically, you know, the best is behind us. My best physical years are in the rearview mirror. And the older I get, the more that's going to be true. So the best is yet to come. Well, in what way? Well, it depends on our focus. It depends on what we're giving ourselves to. It depends on what I'm expecting, my focus and my expectations. And here's, I think, what we need to remember. And there's a guy named Paul in the Bible who I think had this same attitude, this same mindset. We don't see him as a young man, but we certainly see him toward the latter stages of his life. And this is what he said, kind of thinking about this idea of getting older. And this is in Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading here in verse 21. This is Paul speaking. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Well, that's a strange statement, isn't it? Living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Well, wait a minute. That's a strange statement when we think about old age. What in the world does he mean here? Well, let's keep going. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, you know what? I understand, I think Paul is saying, I understand the desire to rest. He's lived his life, and if you read through Paul's life, he poured himself out for God. And he, you know, was on the road traveling. He was beaten several times. He kept sharing the gospel. He worked hard, and he's getting to the end of his life, and he's looking forward to rest. I can't wait till I can just kind of quit this. He's looking forward to a reward. He talked a lot about, you know what, I'm pouring my life out for God, and someday God is going to reward me. What I've done is going to be seen, and there's going to be a benefit to me for how I've lived my life. He's longing for rest. He's longing for a reward. But what is he saying here? I am not going to rest. I am not focusing on my reward. Not yet. Not yet. I'm not giving myself to rest or reward yet. Someday, yes, I'm going to leave this earth someday, and that's when I'm going to rest, and that's when I'm going to be rewarded. But as long as I'm alive, what does it mean? I'm going to work fruitful labor for the people around me. I'm convinced that I'll remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Paul, and I think David, did this. The reason that I think these guys could say, and the reason we can say, if you're an older person, the best is yet to come, I think that's true if you do what they did and you say, I am not, my focus at this stage in life is not rest, not reward. You have earned both of those things. Do you deserve rest? Absolutely. Do you deserve a reward? Almost certainly. But that's not your focus. Not yet. Not yet. It's coming. God sees it. Someday you'll leave this earth, and when you do, then God says, enter into my rest. That's what he says. Come, enter into your reward. But not yet. And instead, older person, as long as you're alive, you are pouring yourself into the next generation. That's what David did. That's what Paul did. You pour yourself into the next generation. Now, as an older person, there's things that you do that don't have anything to do with the younger generation. And God uses you to do things. You speak to the people around you. You have influence in ways that don't have anything to do with the next generation. But so much of the impact that you have as an older person is to the degree that you pour yourself into the next generation for a couple reasons. One is you have things that generation behind you absolutely needs, and they can't get it from anyone but you. older generation, the younger generation desperately needs you. We're going to look at that here in a minute. You have things that they have to have and they can't get it anywhere else. And it's like you're holding so many of the keys for that young generation. And so you're needed. You are not done working. The things you have are needed by the generations following you. And to the degree that you pour yourself into that generation, you're leveraging your work. Because what happens then, if I can stir you up, if I can be used by God to build you up, then someday I'm going to leave, but you're going to keep doing this stuff for years and years and years to come. And you have energy that I don't have. And if I can help you to run, well, there's going to be a huge impact there. Does that make sense? Not rest. Not reward, not yet. It's coming, not yet. Instead, I'm going to pour myself in to the next generation. What does that look like? Well, here at Cedar Creek, if you're one of the people that raised your hand and said you're either old or older, or even if you didn't raise your hand, like me, you're kind of a pioneer here at Cedar Creek. We're a very young church. And really, we're just getting to the point of a church where we even have people who would say that they're old or older. You know, 10, 15 years ago, probably nobody would have raised their hand. But we're aging a little bit. And so a lot of you folks are pioneers in what this looks like. And that's kind of exciting to me. I don't know about you, but it's kind of fun. Oh, we're going to figure this out, God. We're going to break new ground here. But what I want to do here for the next few minutes is just look at what that might look like. And again, we're looking at the life of David. We're looking at this guy and saying, what did he do as an older man? How is it that he could say, you know what, the best is yet to come? But let's look at his life and get ideas of what we can do as an older generation here at Cedar Creek, okay? So, what did David do? Well, we're going to look at a passage in 1 Chronicles, and this is kind of what the setting of it here is this. David, you know, his desire was to serve the Lord. And so he had decided early on as a young man, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to pour myself into God's purposes. Well, what God was doing then primarily was working through the nation of Israel. And God had set up, you know, hundreds of years before David, God had set up when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, okay, here are the things I want you to do. There's going to be these sacrifices. There's the priests and all of these different regulations and rules that's how you're going to worship me. And so that's how God was working at that point in history. He was working through the nation of Israel. He was working through the law of Moses. If that's, you know, all those things, the priests do this and the sacrifices, that's how God was working. It was happening in what was called a tabernacle, which is really a big tent. They had this great big tent set up, and inside the tent was an altar, and all of this stuff happened inside the tent. David said, you know what, God, that's great, but you need not a tent, you need a temple. David said, I'm living in a palace, God's living in a tent, this is wrong. We're gonna make God this temple, and it's going to be magnificent, and all of the things that you want to see happen, God, are going to happen in this temple that we build for you, and the whole world's going to be able to come to see it. And that was God's plan, that the entire world would come and recognize God is real, and he's doing things here in the nation of Israel, and the temple was going to be the focal point of that. And David said, yes, that's what I want to give my life to, so God, let's build the temple. And God said to David, no, not you, not you. The next generation is going to build the temple. And so David had a choice here. He could have done a lot of things. He could have pouted. No, God won't let me do what I want to do. No, he didn't do that. He could have said, oh, okay, well, that's great. I don't have to do anything then. That's your problem. Next generation, that's cool. I'm going fishing. He didn't do that. He poured himself in to try to help the next generation succeed at what God was asking them to do. And so we're going to look at that. That's the setting here of what David did. And so we're going to look at four things that David did, four ways that David poured himself into the next generation to really make his latter years, in many ways, the most productive of his life. Here's the first one. And we'll share it in things that we can do. So as an older generation, as you are really looking to let God use you at this stage of life, you're pouring yourself into this generation behind you in four different specific things. The first one is share your wisdom. share your wisdom. David did that here in 1 Chronicles 28. He's speaking to his son Solomon, and every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. Every part of this plan was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. In other words, David is saying, you know what? I've been following God and I've been talking to God and he's given me insight and understanding. This thing has to happen. This temple needs to get built. It's a big deal to God. He's going to use it in some amazing ways and he's given me some insight into it. I'm not going to build it, but I know some things that are going to help you, Solomon, as you build it. And so here it is. David shared the wisdom that God had given him. He could have said, you know what, God, you have to tell Solomon. I mean, you told me all this stuff. You could tell Solomon. No, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him. Older generation, share your wisdom with the younger generation because you have experience and understanding. As an older person, you have experience and understanding. That's what it says here in Job 12:12. This should be the theme song for us as we, whenever that threshold is where we go from middle age to age, this should be what it is. Wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old. That's absolutely true. Because you've lived life and you've experienced things and you see things that younger crowd doesn't know because they just haven't lived through it. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, how youth have all kinds of passion and zeal, but they just don't have the experiences to kind of have the understanding to know how things work. Well, you have that. Older generation, you have that. That's what God says. You have an incredible thing. Something has been given to you that the generation behind you doesn't have. What is that thing? What is it that aged and old people? I mean, nobody. You're aged and old. Well, thanks a lot. But you're wise and understanding. Oh, yeah. I'll take that. Well, they go together. They go together. There's nothing shameful or demeaning about being aged and old because you're wise and filled with understanding. That's what God says. You have something that the generations behind you don't have, and they desperately need it. The generations behind you desperately need it, and it's God's desire that you share it with them. That's what it says here in Titus. This was a book written by Paul talking to a church just like us that had older people and younger people, had the whole, you know, kind of age swing here, and he's speaking to those folks, and he says this. He's saying, this is what, you know, kind of how we conduct ourselves between the generations. And in verse 4 here in Titus, or yeah, in verse 4 of Titus chapter 2, these older women must train the younger women. Why? Well, because older women have understanding that younger women don't have. Just a couple verses later, he's speaking to Titus, who's an older man, saying, in the same way, you, Titus, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them. So, older people, you have wisdom and experience and understanding. And the generation behind you needs it. They need it because they don't have it. And God says to you, pass it on. Share your wisdom. Tell the generation behind you the things that you've learned. You've seen God and God has spoken to you. Remember, we talked last week about how we're growing in character through those years. Well, you have a depth of character that is such a need and such a benefit and such a blessing to the generation behind you. So you share your wisdom. Share it. Talk about the things you've learned. Engage with that next generation and share the things that God has spoken to you. You just have lived through things that they haven't lived through. And you know things that they don't know. And that's not because you're a better person. It's just because you're older. You've just lived longer. And God has given you, he has deposited into you wisdom and understanding. And the generation behind you needs it desperately. Share your wisdom. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing that David did and that we can do as an older generation to really pour into the generation behind us. We share your wisdom. Second is spread your encouragement. Spread your encouragement. This is so powerful. Here in Chronicles, again, we're back to Chronicles looking at David. And again, he was telling Solomon, okay, here's what you need to do, buddy. Here's the plans for the temple. But that wasn't it. It was, okay, it's one thing to know what you need to do, But we all need encouragement. We all need some, just kind of some emotional, moral support. And so in verse 20, the next verse from what we just looked at, then David continued, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly." Solomon just needed encouragement. You can do this. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. God is with you. Don't be afraid. You're going to be tempted to be afraid. You're going to be tempted to be discouraged. Don't, because God is with you. Spread your encouragement, older crowd, because you've seen God's goodness over time, and that gives you perspective. You have lived through discouragements and disappointments, and you've gotten to the other side of them, and you've been able to look back and see, oh my goodness, God, I see that in the middle of it, I couldn't see your hand. In the middle of it, I didn't know where you were, but now I see you were with me the whole time. Well, guess what? That younger crowd, they're in the middle of it, and they can't see God, and they feel discouraged. And you can say, yeah, I know what that's like. I remember feeling the same thing, but here's what I learned, that God was with me through it, and he walked through that with me. He'll walk through it with you. The crowd behind you needs your encouragement. You know, as a young dad, I can remember coming home, you know, and I'm tired and I've been working all day. And, you know, maybe I worked all day, and then I came down to the church and we did music practice for 2 or 3 hours. And I'm dragging home at, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And the house is a disaster. And my wife, you know, never quite made it out of her pajamas that day. And the kids are, you know, the place is a zoo. And the dog ate through the kennel. And the cow's in the garden. And the screen door is broken. And I walk in the door exhausted. And all of this needy, I need. Oh, man. I remember that. And so now a young dad comes to me and says, oh, this is what's going on. And I can put my arm around him and say, boy, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. No. I don't say that. I say, yes. Oh, man, I remember that. I remember that. But you know what? God tells you, young man, you love your wife. And I had to work hard at that, but I did. And you know what? It is so good, because now I'm on the other end of that. And my wife and I can look back on those times, and it was good for us, because I poured myself in and I served. And you can do that. Young dad, you can do that. And I know it's hard. I've been there, but I walked through that, and God was good to me, and he'll be good to you. The generation behind you needs you to tell them that, because they can't see it in the middle. I couldn't see it in the middle of it. I can see it now. Age gives you a perspective. You see God's goodness over time, and you can say to a young person in a way that they desperately need, don't be discouraged, because God's going to take care of you. God is with you. And I know that because he was with me. You have a weight behind your encouragement, older person, that a younger person doesn't have, because you have been through the wars. You have walked through and you have seen God come through, and you have a perspective that younger crowd doesn't have, and they desperately need you to say, it's going to be all right. You're going to do well. I'm proud of you. One of the most powerful words I think you can say to a young person is, I'm proud of you. You're doing well. Just real briefly, a couple. The Bible is filled with verses like this. Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. You can give an encouraging word that carries weight. The crowd behind you, oftentimes worry is weighing them down. What you say to them can cheer them up, give them hope. Proverbs 15:30, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health. You have the power, older crowd, older generation, to spread encouragement to the younger generation, and they desperately need it from you. So you share your wisdom, spread your encouragement. Here's the third thing. You give your time. Give your time. And in Psalm, this is David speaking again, Psalm 132, and he's talking about this idea of the temple. And again, he's building the temple. And in Psalm 132, he says, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the mighty one of Israel. David is saying here, you know what? I'm getting older and I'm getting tired, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to give my time. Why? Because there's something that God still wants me to do. And he's talking about this idea of the temple. Now, he knows at this point, remember we said where God said, no, you're not going to build the temple. David, your son is going to do it. And yet still, David says, you know what? I'm not going to rest because there's this work to be done. He's not going to do it. His son is going to do it. So he's giving his time to his son. He's giving his time to the next generation so that they can accomplish what God has for them. You see, you still have, older person, strength and time. Maybe not as much strength. Maybe you need to go to bed earlier. Maybe you can't do exactly what you did as a younger person, but you still have strength and you still have time. In Joshua 14, 10, this is a, well, I'll just start reading here. This is a guy named Caleb, and it says, now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old. That's old, I think. I don't know what the cutoff is. I'm guessing 85 is past it. I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Listen to me, older generation, you can still travel and fight. You're not done. You have strength. Not as much as you did. I mean, maybe we're not all like Caleb, where I'm as strong when I'm 85 as I was when I was 40, but you have strength. You have time. You're not done. You can still, there are things that you can accomplish. You have time and strength to give, and it's meant to be given away. In this verse is in the NIV because I like it better, but it's Paul again talking, and he says this. It's in Philippians 2, 17. It says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. Your time was meant to be given away. That's what Paul said here. I'm pouring myself out like a drink offering. I'm just, on what? On the sacrifice of your faith. I'm giving myself to your benefit. I'm giving my time. Older generation, you do have strength. You do have time yet. And it's meant to be given away. Give your time. Don't hoard it for yourself. And the last thing, share your wisdom, spread your encouragement, give your time. The last one is similar. It's spend your assets. Spend your assets. Here in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, it says, David again speaking about this whole thing. And now because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. David spent his assets for God's work. He didn't hoard them for himself. Now, this is something that strikes close to home to us, I think, because, you know, our assets, our money, especially as we get older, so much of the focus is what? Well, how am I going to provide for myself? I'm heading into retirement, and someday I'm not going to be able to work. How am I going to be able to live? And so our assets, in fact, our culture, primarily what it talks about when it talks about older people, is make sure you're financially secure. You don't want to be dependent. You need to plan for your future. And there is great wisdom in that. There is great wisdom in that. And so do not get me wrong. I am not saying, just spend all your money and live hand to mouth. I'm not saying that, because there is wisdom. God says he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. God says the fool sees danger and keeps going, but a wise, prudent man takes refuge, plans for it. There's wisdom in recognizing, you know what, someday I might not be able to work, and I'm still going to need to buy groceries. How am I going to do that? But this is an issue of where is your passion? Because, folks, older people, do not make the mistake of thinking passion is left for the young crowd. That's not true. You still have passions. There are things that burn inside of you. The only question is not, is something burning inside of me? It is. The question is, what is burning? What is burning inside of me? Have I kept the passion of my youth? David set his heart on God years ago, and he kept that fire burning. Are you keeping that fire burning into your old age? And this issue helps you to do that. How you spend your money helps you to focus your passions, to fan them into flame. That's what it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. This whole, the end of Matthew 6 is talking about this idea that God says, I know you need food. I know you need clothes. Look, you need those things. That's good. But you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. You seek me first. It's a priority issue. Seek me first. And then in Matthew 6:21, he says this, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. If you choose to spend your assets on God's kingdom, it fans into flame that passion for God. Now, I'm not saying empty your IRAs. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be conscious about where your assets are going, because it focuses your passion and it clarifies your expectations. Here's a disturbing story. Jesus told many disturbing stories. Here's one. This is in Luke chapter 12. And there's a man here. Well, I'll just read this. Luke 12, starting with verse. I'm going to start with verse 17. I'm going to start with verse 16. Then Jesus told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That is the American dream. That is the American dream. Work hard, be successful, store up stuff for yourself, and then rest. I mean, isn't that exactly what we're told? That's what you're shooting for. This guy did it right. He did everything right. He worked hard. He was successful. He stored up his stuff, and he had so much stuff, he said, hey, buddy, hey, you worked hard. Now sit back. Look at this. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You deserve it. Take your rest. Take your reward. God said to him, you fool. God does not use words flippantly. God doesn't say things and then later think, oh, I probably overstated that. No, he meant it. You fool. The American dream, if that's your passion, it's desperately foolish. Desperately. Because you will leave it. This goes on this very night. Your life is required of you. And what will you do with all the stuff you've accumulated? You fool. You and God have to wrestle with that. What does that mean? I'm saying to you, older person, your goal in life cannot be the American dream. Cannot. Or, I believe, God will say, well, you poor boy, you poor girl, you gave yourself to the silly thing when you could have given yourself to the powerful thing. Shapes our expectations, how we spend our assets. And as we get older, we begin to think about that more and more. Okay, let's sum up here, and I'm going to give some kind of big picture overall statements for us to chew on, all right? Sum up. You're not done. Older folks, you're not done. The goal is not rest. It's not reward. Not yet. That's coming. Not yet. Both David and Paul said, I know it's not yet because I'm still alive. So that's the cutoff here. When I'm dead, okay, yes. As long as I'm still alive, no, it means fruitful labor for me. And the best, most powerful impact I can have, not the only, but the best and most powerful impact you can have, older person, is to pour yourself into the generation behind you. How do you do that? Well, you share your wisdom. You spread your encouragement. You give your time. And you spend your assets. Now, a couple of things, perhaps, older generation, that you can do, big picture things that you can do, or ways that I would perhaps kind of encapsulate this are a couple of sentences here. Here's one. Help the young church folks focus their passion. Help the young church folks focus their passion. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, how youth need their passion to be submitted to someone who's older. They need to take their passion and submit it to someone who's older. Guess what? That's you. They need you to take their passions and to help them focus them. So maybe ask this question. If you're an older person here at Cedar Creek and you're surrounded by all these young folks having babies, going to college, ask them this question. What excites you? What are you excited about? Young person, what are you excited about? And then talk to them about that. Help them to focus it. So you help the younger church folks focus their passion and then help them run. Remember the second thing we said 2 weeks ago was younger crowd needs to get their passions focused and then they need to pull the trigger and run with them. Well, you help them. Ask them this question, how can I help? What can I do? Do you need understanding? Sure. I'll talk that through with you. Do you need encouragement? Absolutely. I'll do that with you. Do you need time? Can I watch your kids? Sure. I'll do that. Do you need assets? Well, here's what I have. I'll give it to you. Help them run at the thing because they have energy. They can run. They can stay up late. I don't remember. I watched Justin and Emily and they got three little kids. And I think, how do you do this? I think, well, I did it as a young kid and I'm glad I don't do it anymore, but I'll help. I'll help. I'll come watch your kids so you can go to the Edge on Friday nights or whatever. Ask yourself these questions. Last thing. I want to end with this. Thinking about us as a church, if youth ignore the older generation, and that happens. Youth, in the world we live in, older people are kind of invisible almost, aren't they? They're just still around, but you know, that's not, they're just kind of there and we don't pay a lot of attention to them. If the youth ignore the older generation, you do it at your own peril because you, youth, desperately in God's world need what they have to offer. And if youth ignore the older generation, that is bad. Very, very bad for the youth. If the older generation is self-absorbed, which is what our culture tells them to do. No one cares about you, so you care about yourself. You've earned your rest. You've earned your reward. You go and get it. You get what you have coming to you because no one else is going to take care of you. If you do that, older generation, that is very, very bad because you have things that the generation behind you desperately needs and you are wasting it probably in some ways the best years of your life. But we can do this well if age gives freely and youth accepts joyfully. How do you say this in Spanish? Muy bueno, mucho gusto. It's really good. It's great. It's all good because then the youth is getting the things they need and the age is pouring into them and things are happening. This is God's plan for this church. For us, right here. So where are you in this? Youth, age, somewhere in between? Let's do this well. Father, we just pray that we would help us. Help us, God, to love and to serve you first. I pray that everybody in here, regardless of how old we are, our passions would be stirred for you. We would want to follow you wholeheartedly, whatever stage of life we're in. But help us to do it with each other. We need each other. Youth need the old. The old need the young. Help us to do this well. As an honor to you, as a witness to the church, as a blessing to each other, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.